You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 20th of June 2022 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, we've got a very interesting article here today that I thought we could discuss. It's actually on the BBC News website in the World Africa section, and it really confirms a lot of the things that we've been saying here at Radio Albion. The title of the article is African Brain Drain, 90% of my friends want to leave. And that is a really sad situation where 90% of somebody's friends wish to leave their homeland, basically, their country of their ancestors, where all their friends are, where their family are, because the situation is so dire there. And also, you then have this problem of the most intelligent people leaving to go to Europe where they can earn the most money. And if they all end up leaving the country of their ancestors, who's going to build that country up? Who's going to improve the place so that people no longer want to leave? Now, some of the results from this survey are really quite interesting. The war is not really a reason for why these people are wanting to leave, and yet we're being told that the people that are coming across from the channel are fleeing war. Yet that isn't the reason why they're leaving. Most of the reason why the people are leaving is for economic reasons. I mean, it's quite sensible reasons for why they wish to come, and the impression they have is that Europe is inviting them, Europe is encouraging them to come here, and that's where the fault lies. The fault lies with our governments here in Europe, particularly in Britain. The message that they appear to be sending out is that if you can get across that channel, then there's no way you're going to be sent back. And there is also all the propaganda from Germany saying that Angela Merkel welcomed refugees from everywhere and how they're a great strength to society. And it's just encouraged people to leave Africa and come to Europe. So let's have a look at what it says here. A new survey of more than 4,500 young people in Africa aged 18 to 24 has found that 52% of them are likely to consider emigrating in the next few years, citing economic hardship and education opportunities as the top reasons. The BBC spoke to five young people in Nigeria and South Africa who said they do not feel safe in their countries and lack access to work opportunities. But for those in Ghana, the picture looks very different, and it also looks different in Rwanda, which is where the British government are hoping to place the people that are coming across in the channel. There's also an interesting article out today as well by a representative from the Rwanda government who is really insulted at what the left in Britain are saying about his country. Maybe we'll get into that one tomorrow. We have an 18-year-old here, Ayawadi Oni from Lagos. He says the Nigerian insecurity is so appalling. This is one of the main reasons he wants to leave Nigeria. And I think he means security here. And the lack of security is making him feel insecure. He says last year he was nearly kidnapped in broad daylight. He was on his way home from the phone repair shop when a gang approached him, demanding he hang over his belongings. He resisted and was walking very fast to try and get away. He thought he had found refuge when he stumbled on a nearby shop with people inside who tried to lure him in, telling him he was safe with them. But it was a trap. Suddenly a bus driver pulled up and warned him the people were kidnappers, instructing him to get inside the vehicle. That saved me that day. he recalls. Now, this is quite serious. I mean, it's bad enough that he's walking along and people start trying to mug him. But then to go into a shop and the people in the shop there are trying to kidnap him. I mean, this says that the society itself is unsafe. Bad enough that you could get mugged in the street, but if you go into a shop and then there's a chance that they're going to be breaking the law in the shop as well, I mean, this is really a bad situation to be in. And clearly, this Ayoade Oni, he's not like that. He's not a kidnapper. But the fact is, in his society, there are people like that. And unfortunately, because of our immigration policy here in Britain, we now have people like that over here in our country. So our streets are less safe. And the more people that come over from Africa, the more chances there are of the people that go out doing these kidnappings coming over, and the less safe it will be on Britain's streets. And if something isn't done, eventually Britain is going to be as insecure or have as many security problems as Africa. And the solution to this is to help the Africans, basically, to improve their society, help them to have law and order, help them to have jobs that pay, that give them a decent standard of living, and help them with education. The solution to this isn't to encourage people to come to Europe. Nigeria is currently facing a kidnapping for ransom crisis, with perpetrators collecting millions of dollars over the years, according to a Lagos-based think tank. "I can't go out at night. My parents won't even allow me to," Mr. Oni said. "They have set him a curfew to be home by 6:30 each night. A high unemployment rate, poor health sector, low standard of living, and little to no job opportunities are the other reasons Mr. Oni cites for wanting to leave the country." So it's really not in a very good state over there. So if we take a look at some of the information tables that accompany the article here, we can see what the study participants see as being the top priorities for Africa to progress. We have create modern jobs, 28%, reduce corruption, 22%, quality education, 17%. So these are all the things that are at the top there. Not stop the war, but basically they just want to have what we would consider here in the West a normal standard of living. That's the reason why they're coming here. They're not doing anything wrong in trying to come here. The people that are doing things wrong, if you want to put it in that way, are the Western governments for encouraging this. As for eventually getting a job after he graduates with a degree in computer science, he is not optimistic. Most graduates are left with no option but to compete for the few employment positions available, with most people being employed by connections or corruptions, he said. And that's also the other big problem in Africa, is corruption. Again, if we have a look at these information tables here, has main reasons for African youth emigration: economic 44%, education 41%, new experiences 25%. Of course, this is young people, so they want new experiences. Corruption 18%. They have a real problem with corruption over there in Africa, as they do in all of the third world, particularly in Asia. They have this problem with corruption. And now that we have parts of Britain that are majority non-white, we have problems with corruption here as well. Because the types that are prone to corruption over there in Africa are now also over here in Britain. I mean, we can look at certain elections that took place in London, Tower Hamlets, I think it was, and we had corruption there. He wasn't of African heritage, he was of Indian heritage. But it's a similar problem that all of these third world countries have, and we import the problems into our own countries by having this unlimited immigration. Of course, you could say, well, how about if we just let in the most intelligent, the brightest? They're not likely to be prone to falling for corruption, are they? And of course, this is the argument that the Conservative Party will use, and they will say, well, we will give out visas to the brightest people and the most intelligent. But that doesn't help the country of origin. it means that you get this brain drain. It means all the intelligent people end up leaving Africa. Africa remains the same. And along with the intelligent people that come over into Europe, you also get the criminal types that come into Europe. And as I've spoken of so many times, multiculturalism, living in a multicultural territory, just provides more victims for the criminal types, because it's much harder to carry out a crime on somebody from your own extended family than it is to carry out a crime on someone from another extended family. Especially if you're from a small ethnic minority community, then everybody or most of the people in that community are going to know who you are. So the criminal types are not going to carry out the crimes against their own people. They're going to carry them out against other people. And I dare say it goes the same for white criminals. Probably would find it easier to find victims amongst the ethnic minority communities. So immigration doesn't help the African people. It may help the odd individual, because obviously they're then going to earn more money, but it doesn't help the country in the long run. Mr. Oni says, if he left Nigeria and relocated to Canada, where he has his heart set on, he would have no intention of moving back. Most of his friends feel the same. 90%, if not all of them, want out, he says. So once they're gone, they're gone. And there's nobody left there to build up the country. The statistics from the African Youth Survey 2022, carried out in 15 countries by the South African Ichikovits Family Foundation, back up Mr. Oni's pessimism. So let's have a look at what it says there. It says, as I said, the main reasons for African youth emigration: economic 44%, education 41%. What else do we have here? Top priorities for Africa to progress. We've done that one already. Let's have a look at this one. Is my country heading in the right direction? Right at the top there, they have Rwanda. 60% of Rwandans think their country is heading in the right direction. And yet we're being told Rwanda is not a good place to be putting asylum seekers. And yet Rwanda wants these asylum seekers to go there. And they also want economic migrants to go there. And as we're being told here, most of these people that are trying to leave Africa, that they're not seeking asylum. They're not saying that they are fleeing war. I mean, let's have a look here. What does it say about any? It doesn't even say anything like war. Main reasons for African youth emigration: 9%, it says, security. Top priorities for Africa to progress. Doesn't say anything about stopping wars there. So the main reason for Africans to be coming into Europe has to be economic reasons. And Rwanda is saying, well, come to Rwanda and we'll help you set up businesses. We want you to come here. And then we have the left wing in Britain trying to put a stop to that. Young Nigerians have the most negative opinion on the whole continent about the direction their country is headed, with 95% saying things are going badly. Of all those surveyed, just 28% felt positively about the trajectory of their nation. Now, as nationalists, we complain about the trajectory of our country, but can you imagine if 95% of all the young people in the country said that they thought things were going badly in Britain? I mean, it is obviously a lot worse in Nigeria, so bad that they just want to leave. This is a really sad situation that the country is in. Mr. Ivor Ichikovits, who headed this foundation, he says, the world needs to wake up and invest in Africa so that young Africans do not feel they have to move abroad to achieve their dreams at the expense of their home countries. And he's correct. That is the solution to this problem. I mean, that would solve the African problem of not being a place where most Africans actually want to live. And it would solve the issues that European people have with their communities becoming divided and having to live in multicultural areas and have the lower access to resources and all the rest that goes with the immigration and the multiculturalism. So it would help the Africans to help them where they are. And it would also help Europeans to retain their culture and communities. So why are they not doing this? I mean, it's good that the BBC are drawing attention to this, but it's just a small article hidden away on their website. Mr. Ichikovic said it's bigger than a brain drain. This group of people, 18 to 24-year-olds in Africa, are saying we are going to improve our lives, even if it means having to up and leave and go somewhere else. And of course, the other side of this is they're young people and they probably don't yet understand just how much they appreciate being amongst their own people. I'm sure that once they leave and they go to Canada or wherever and they live in the multicultural place, they would soon start wishing that they were back home, or maybe not wishing they were back home, but missing being back home. I mean, we hear of Somalian mothers that now send their Somalian teenagers back home to Somalia because the multicultural areas in London have such a negative effect on their children. They are not carrying knives, they are not getting involved in gangs, and they just see it that it would be much safer if they were just amongst their own community in Somalia, where they have their elders there, they have people that are going to be a good influence on them. There aren't so many negative influences around. And it's quite incredible that Somalians think that Somalia is a safer place to be than London and a better place to bring their children up. This Mr. Ichikovic, he said the fact so many young Africans wanted to move abroad could cause a migration crisis, describing it as alarming. And just think there, that's 50% of them. I mean, I did see a study a while back that was saying something like two-thirds of Africans actually wanted to leave Africa. In the previous edition of the African Youth Survey conducted before the pandemic, most of the young people interviewed wanted to stay in their home nation and build a life for themselves there. And that's the natural thing that you want to do. You want to live among your own people. And this is what we say as nationalists. Nationalism is going to benefit everyone if you subscribe to those ideas. If a country is based around nationalism, it means that it's going to be doing its best for one people group, and you're not going to get any conflicts of interest. And you naturally feel most at home with your people group. And you can see that from the youngest children there are. You can get a child of 6 months old and give them a choice of being with somebody from another race or being with somebody of their own race, and they will choose to be with someone of their own race. It's just a basic survival instinct. Of course, we're told that that's the seeds of racism, but it's not. It's just recognizing people that look like you and instinctively knowing that you're going to be safest amongst somebody that looks like you. It's like cats are going to feel safest amongst cats, aren't they? Dogs are going to feel safest amongst dogs rather than amongst other animals. And I'm not quite sure what happened here with the pandemic and why that has changed. It didn't really seem to affect Africa that much because so many of them are young. This is the other issue as well. Some places, I think Nigeria might be one of them, 60% of the population are under the age of 30. They've had a massive population boom. They have lots and lots of young people, and there just aren't enough jobs to go around for them. And what would be far better than encouraging them to come to Europe would be to invest and set things up in Africa that they could do. Like Dr. E. Michael Jones says, the problem that they have over there is they don't have the infrastructure to process the raw materials into the finished product. What they get is they get lots of charity clothes that get sent over there, and then you get a trader that picks up the charity clothes and then sells them on. And that's not a sustainable business there. But if you have cotton fields and you collect the cotton, and then you have a processing plant that processes the cotton, and then you have a textile manufacturing factory that manufactures the textiles, and then you have a market that sells the clothes, then you're employing everybody, and the raw materials are being grown on the land, and that is a sustainable business method. But they just don't have anything like that. And that's the sort of thing that should be put over there, manufacturing of clothes. And if you look at Africa, they've got an average IQ between, I think the lowest countries is 65, and it goes up to 70 or 80. So the majority of the people there are going to be happy doing things like making textiles, working in the fields. And then you're going to have a small portion of them that are going to be of above average intelligence, and they're the ones that should be working in the hospitals, working in the universities, and everything should be tailored to their abilities. Instead of setting things up which they're going to have difficulties doing, I mean, the world needs textiles. We need somewhere to produce textiles at a cheap rate, and the economy there in Africa, it would benefit from that. But instead of doing that, as I say, we just send all this charity to them, and the charity just ends up being sold on, and it doesn't help them. They've had this huge population boom, and they haven't got the resources or the infrastructure there to cope with it, so they end up coming to Europe. A lot of the young people his foundation spoke to wanted to move to South Africa, Europe, or the United States. But although South Africa was seen as the Holy Grail for many in other African countries, those in South Africa begged to differ and wanted to move to the US or Europe, he said. And there are problems in South Africa with new black Africans that turn up from certain tribes, and they end up fighting amongst one another. Serious issues between certain tribes. It's not like there is solidarity between them all because they're black. I mean, it's a similar sort of problem to what you get with the troubles in Northern Ireland, or the problems that we had with the Balkans. Even though people are white, if they come from a slightly differing ethnicity, different religion, or different whatever, there can be conflicts of interests, and there can be wars that arise, and you get the same thing happening in South Africa. And again, it's interesting. South Africa was built by white people and set up by white people, and that's the place that they want to go to, or Europe, or the United States, and it's now in the hands of black people. And that really highlights the problem that there is with corruption, because South Africa has a massive problem with corruption, and yet these young Africans still want to go there. So perhaps the solution would be to help South Africa, because that is one of the places that they wish to go to. So perhaps we could help just try to stop the corruption there, and help with the businesses there, and help there to be some sustainable businesses. And this is a serious problem, this huge explosion in population, and no businesses, no work, no employment in order to keep them going. It is in the interest of the whole world to keep young Africans, who estimates say will make up 42% of the world's young people by 2030, constructively engaged in Africa, Mr. Ichikovitz says. So almost half of the world's population, world's young people in 2030 are going to be black Africans. So, and what are they going to do? Are they all going to get in boats and come to Europe? I mean, that seems to be the plan at the moment. Nobody's doing anything about this. If we take a look at Ghana, Ghanaians feel the second most positive on the continent about the future of their country after Rwanda, with 56% saying they are pleased with the direction that the country is going in. And we have 24-year-old Julius Kwame Anthony, the head of the National Union of Ghanaian Students. He says, "I can make it in Ghana, because even though there are not strong institutions and our systems seem to be weak, the lack of these can also mean that a smart social climate can break those barriers." So he's looking at how he can turn this around and make it work for him. So he's obviously got his head screwed on, right? He's thinking about ways that he can stay in his own country. He can improve his own country. He says relocating abroad may look rosy, but nothing is really promised out there. And also he would be apart from his own people. And the same people that cause the problems in Ghana, he's going to find them in Europe as well, because they also leave Ghana and come to Europe to cause problems. The criminal types, that is. You really can't stop them from coming along with the intelligent people that don't want to cause the trouble. That's why the best solution to this is to have monoculturalism, because the Ghanaians are going to be best placed for knowing how to deal with the troublesome Ghanaian types. They're going to instinctively know which are the ones that are the bad sort and which are the ones that are the good sort. And that's going to be particularly difficult if you're European trying to work that out. Similar sentiments were echoed by 33-year-old businessman Ernest Lamy. This is home. If I'm able to solve the problems here, when the next generation comes along, they can also benefit, he says, questioning the logic behind moving abroad just to help another country develop at the expense of your own. So he's thinking like a nationalist here. He's a little bit older. He's 33. So he is understanding his connection to his people, and he's thinking of the next generation. And what he should be doing today is doing something to benefit the next generation, the same as his ancestors did what they could to benefit him. So that's nationalist thinking. He's the good guy in this. And I'm sure that's what the majority of the Africans would want to do. They would want to stay with their own people, and where they understand the language, they understand the culture, and they know that they're in a land that their people have lived in for thousands of years. Why would you then want to move to the northern countries where there's less sun, where you don't have enough vitamin D for your bones, and there's all this, always going to be a suspicion that if you don't have an equal outcome to somebody who's white, that it could be racism that caused that. And they don't have to put up with with that fear, that uncertainty, that discrimination is the reason why they didn't get the job or why they didn't pass the exam. They don't have to deal with this if they live in a monocultural country. Black people in Africa don't have to deal with racism. So this Ernest Lamy, he's not going to have problems with that. He's not going to feel that he's been discriminated against, and he's going to have a sense of satisfaction that he is contributing to his community, that he's improving his country for the next generation. But for others, passionate arguments about developing their community will not wash, and the trauma they have faced in their home country has them itching to leave. One young South African woman who requested to remain anonymous says the high crime rate in the country has made her want to emigrate, on top of her struggles to find a job since graduating last year. So they have a high crime rate there, and if we have a high level of immigration from South Africa, that high crime rate is also going to be imported, because you're not going to be able to screen out the criminal types. And that is what we have seen with the increase in immigration. We have seen an increase in crime rate. And of course, the state will try to say that it's not linked to immigration. They will say that it's socio-economic factors. And there are socio-economic factors to it. But the fact is that it's easier for people to commit crimes against people from a different ethnic group. So multiculturalism is going to lead to crime. And we also see that Africa does have a quite a high crime rate if you compare it to other countries in the world. And if you look at the average IQ, that IQ does predict that there will be more criminal types. It's just the way that it is. So she wants to get away from this. She wants to get away from the high crime rate. Yet if there is a high rate of immigration from South Africa into London, then she's going to find in London that there's this high crime rate as well. She's not going to be able to get away from it. Again, the way to solve this problem is to encourage people to stay in their own countries and develop their countries and develop their ways of dealing with things. I mean, Africans have a different way of dealing with crime than we do here in Britain as well. I'm sure we'd be quite shocked at the way that some of the African police deal with crime, but they do prevent it. Of course, there is a lot of corruption that's involved as well. So again, we have to set them a good example, but within their own country. And they're linked to this article, there's another article which is suggesting colonialism again, saying we should go back to Africa, we should lease certain parts of Africa, we should set things up there, set up the structures that we need within society, and run them and help the Africans to learn how to run them themselves. And there is a certain amount of support for that, a certain amount of Africans that wish to go along with that. I'll see if I can just find the link here on the article. Yes, the article is called "Can Voluntary Colonialism Stop Migration from Africa to Europe? A controversial proposal by a senior German official that foreign powers acquire land in Africa to curb migration has been rejected by the African Union. But I'm sure there's a lot of support for that amongst the Africans. I mean, a lot of them say that it's done nothing but go downhill since the white people left there. So this young South African woman, she says she was raped in 2019 while walking from campus to her student accommodation and has not felt safe since. Pre-pandemic, between 2018 and 2019, sexual assault and rape counted amongst crimes in the country with the biggest increases. And if you look at South Africa, the rate of rape is huge. I think Africa has the highest crime rate in the world, rape rate in the world. I have done programs on it before. It's an awful situation. And again, if you have mass immigration from Africa, you are going to get a certain number of these rapists that come into the country, and the rape rate in the country is also going to go up. You also have the phenomenon of gang rape that occurs in Africa, and that is it's looked at different culturally than gang rape is looked at over here. And it's because there are differences between people. All you have to do is look it up on Wikipedia, and it will show you these the different cultural ways that rape is looked at in Africa. And you're also importing that into white countries, basically. And again, and that's not to say that all Africans are rapists, just that they do have a big problem with it. And part of it is the way that it's looked upon culturally. It's looked upon culturally completely different as rape is looked at, say, in Britain, particularly because you have this phenomenon of gang rape that occurs over there. She says, it just feels like the odds are against us as young women. Not only can we not roam the streets safely, we are also battling with unemployment. Another young South African woman, Mapula Maaki, 23, agrees that the employment situation in South Africa is poor, and this is why she is thinking of moving abroad. Migration might be the only solution to this rather saturated job market, she says. And again, these are people that are looking to get out just because they want work. But you've also got the criminally minded people that think, well, I'm not going to make much money robbing people here. Think of how much money I'll make robbing people on the streets of Europe. You don't just get the good people, you also get the bad people when you migrate. And I can recall being taken a holiday in a Middle Eastern country and getting friendly with the locals. I really enjoyed talking to them. I got on well with them. And I can recall asking them what their community was like in Britain. Should I approach their community? And you know, would they be as friendly as they were in this country that I went to? And they advised me to do no such thing. They said all the worst type of people leave our country to go to yours because we don't want them. They said that's why they leave, is because we don't want them. So I dare say there is a certain amount of criminal types that have used up all the goodwill that they have in their own country, and then they think, well, we'll head off to Europe and we'll carry on in the same way that we were here in Europe. There's more for us to take in Europe. So I dare say that plays into that as well, and that comes from the horse's mouth, as it were. And of course, that's not to say all of them are like that. There are some very, very hardworking and intelligent people that come over from these other countries. It's just that it's so sad that they're doing that. They have to do that in Europe and America rather than improving their own country. That's what we need to be doing, is trying to help these people to improve their own country and not encouraging them to come to ours. And the only people that can do that are the government. It's down to government policy. It's down to Western government policy that encourages Africans to come to Europe rather than to stay in Africa and improve Africa. I mean, this Rwandan plan is good, and it will help Rwanda to improve. And as I say, 60% of Rwandans think that their country is going in the right direction. But so far, it's only two or three people that are going to be sent over there. I mean, it's all just marketing, I think, by the Conservative Party, so they can pretend as if they're doing something about it, when in actual fact, they're not. Finishing up here, in March, South Africa recorded a record high unemployment rate of 35.3%. Ms. Maaki describes it as a national crisis and pleads that the government should be taking steps to invest in graduates. And that's just it. It's just so sad. All the intelligent ones are gonna leave Africa, and Africa is just going to stay in the same state that it is now. And the population growth will just keep on increasing. And we're just making problems for ourselves in the future by allowing the excess population of Africa to just funnel itself into Europe. We will just end up making parts of Europe look like parts of Africa. Far better would be to encourage the Africans to be self-sufficient and to encourage them to stay in their country. I mean, you could reward countries that are in Africa that prevent their people from leaving into Europe. And that money or that wealth that they could be given could be used to improve the country. I mean, if we just take a look at these infographics that they have here once again, is my country heading in the right direction? 60% of Rwandans think so, 56% of Ghanaians think so. And then after that, all these countries think that it's heading in the wrong direction. So it is possible to do with Rwanda and Ghana there. Where does Tanzania come? Oh, they don't actually have Tanzania. I think Tanzania is doing quite well. And it says, finally, top priorities for Africa to progress. Modern jobs, reduce corruption. That's the second one. Corruption is a big issue there. Quality education, peace and stability, increase access to basic needs and services, support innovation. These are all things that can be done by the West. I mean, fairly low there is enhance human rights. That's just 10%. Then you've got embrace technological innovation, respect sovereignty. So they can see that sovereignty is an important thing. And yet we have lost our sovereignty here in Europe, and we think this is a European thing or a British thing, that we've lost our sovereignty and everything's being done by these corporations and by the EU. It's the same in Africa. You know, these Africans don't want the sovereignty of their country to be impinged upon. They want to stay in their countries, but their countries are such a mess. So what we need to do is find ways to help them within their countries and prevent them from coming into ours, because although that might help the individual, it doesn't help the people group, and it doesn't help the country that they're from, and it doesn't help our people group or the countries that we're from. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.